Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. I'm excited to welcome back to our program today Terry Lloyd Winetsky. He's the author of the new book, Gray Pine. Now, actually, this is my third conversation to be able to have with Terry. We've had him on the program before, even as early as last year, talking about his journey as an author, but also how, of course, his life as an educator has seeped into his work and the great lessons he's been able to teach and share with us as well. That definitely continues in the new book, Gray Pine. We'll talk to Terry not only about their writing of this book, but also the parallels that he feels with the main character, Philip Stark, as well as what he hopes all of you are able to realize about the impact you can have on the world around you. If you're just now hearing about Gray Pine, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get the book for yourself. But Terry, hello to you, and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, or I guess it's afternoon back there in your... I'm chuckling a little because your intro said movers and shakers, and I never really considered myself a mover or a shaker.
Well,
anyway, you guys are experiencing a false spring back there, I guess, and it's snowing like crazy here in the Northwest, so there you go.
Well, there you go. Things are shaking up a little bit there. So, see, there you go. See, you're a mover and shaker in your own way, Terry. You know, Terry, it is great to have you back on the program. As I was telling you before we went on here, I got a chance to finish your new book, which always helps me in these conversations, Gray Pine. So, first of all, congratulations on the book. I mean, what has it been like for you, Terry, to have not only to begun this journey as a storyteller, going back to how this all began for you and I with Maria's Gift, what has it been like for you to share your journey with the world book from book?
I guess one way to respond to that is that I'm starting to think about three things here, and I guess what I want to say is that my writing... my source for my writing is what I perceive as realism. And I guess I believe, definitely believe, I don't guess, I definitely believe in the old adage about write what you know. And I'm not at all interested in writing about things I don't know anything about, you know, like monsters and bloodthirsty things that sell so well, and I'm just not interested in doing that. And you know, all three of my books, and I should mention before we go any further that Gray Pine is actually my first book because they're now a series, and my current publisher, who is your neighbor, by the way, down there in Arkansas. My current publisher went back and republished Gray Pine and Maria and Happy Ranch to Watts as a series called American Teachers.
Right.
And all three books have that in common. You know, they're based on basically what I perceive as realism and a lot of historical context as well.
Exactly. And you mentioned, of course, writing what you know, yourself being an educator. You know, I think regardless of whether you're in the classroom, and this is the interesting thing about individuals like yourself, Terry, whether you're in a classroom or writing a book, you're able to not only entertain, but also to share some great lessons. Is that your hope as a storyteller to be able to do that?
Yeah, in fact, I think Gray Pine especially, since you've just finished reading that, and it was my first book and my first foray into the whole idea. I shouldn't say that. I actually wrote the usual attempt at a young adult novel, which was an utter failure. And and then I started Gray Pine after some serious things that happened in my life, and after living through the ashfall from Mount St. Helens here in central Washington back in 1980, it made the perfect dark, quotes around dark, the perfect dark setting for a real tough story that I had that I really wanted to tell.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? And I want our audience to really get this, because I have found in my life, Terry, that sometimes in the darkest of moments, that's when you learn the most, not only about yourself, but others in the world. Has that kind of been your experience, that those things that may have seemed as a negative at one time ended up being a teachable moment for you?
Yes, and that leads me to something that has nothing to do with my books that maybe I'll treat in a book in the future. I don't know, but I don't want to get too dramatic here and play the world's smallest violin, but back in 98, just before I wrote Grapevine, I had a brain aneurysm and a brain hemorrhage, and then when they occluded the aneurysm, I had a stroke, and so, you know, was very close to being 6 feet under, and that whole experience totally changed my life. I would say before that I was a kind of a frightened person. I didn't show it, you know, like everybody else. I would disguise that I was scared or frightened of life. But that experience, and I've heard this from other people who've had near-death experience, basically it didn't make me brave, but it made me much less afraid. And that's when I started writing Grapevine. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I'm not at all surprised. In fact, I was going to mention, and I actually said to you as I was, you know, talking with you before we went on here, one of the things I thought about was you when I was reading about Philip's journey, because it was through one of those wake-up call moments for Philip that he realized not only, I think, the brevity of life, but also the responsibility to do something. And it was so interesting to me because here was Philip, an individual like all of us, who was in a place and he really saw a way that he could do what he could where he was. Is that what you also hope that readers realize about themselves, Terry, that no matter where they are, what position they may have, or even as significant or insignificant as they may feel, that they have the power as one person to really do something amazing?
Yes, exactly. Philip Stark, of course, is not me, but he has gone through all of this stuff, and he is dealing with what is commonly called today clinical depression, suicidal depression, and marginally, in the case of this book, homicidal depression. And I think, you know, when I'm selling the book face-to-face with people, you know, they get real excited about Mount St. Helens, and I have to say, well, before you buy this book, you need to understand that we have, you know, we have a really serious topic here. And basically, it's Phillips, he goes through dealing with three different psychologists. And I had some fun with that because I did the same thing, and two of the psychologists or psychiatrists in one case come off looking pretty, not helpful, shall we say? but Philip finds something with this one guy, and basically, this guy helps him because He learns from him to basically tell himself the truth, like Shakespeare's old line, to thine own self be true.
Right.
And that's the biggest realization for him, is that, you know, he might not ever get rid of depression, and I don't think everybody, real depression, I mean clinical ongoing depression, I don't think anybody completely gets rid of it, but they learn to deal with it and move on with their life. And, you know, and basically, you know, that's the redeeming quality to this, you know, to this rather dark story, is that Philip is finally taking, I don't want to give everything away, but
sure,
he finally is taking a step forward. And some readers don't make it that far because it is a tough story. But hopefully there's a bit of a reward there at the end.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say, and I think I'm going to disagree with you a little bit here.
Okay, I can handle it.
Terry, is that I didn't see it as a dark story at all. I saw it as life. Yeah, I saw it as life. And I saw that as I was reading the book, that it again shows the point that, for one thing, you know, we all have heard that saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It reminds us that regardless of when a book is set or what the characters may look like or sound like, that we all go through challenges. And in fact, I found it inspiring because...
Well, that's great. I really appreciate your saying that. And probably the most rewarding reader I've ever had is a guy who emailed me a couple of weeks after he bought Grapevine and basically had been through some of the same issues, and you know, a very sincere email, and you know, wasn't really talking about the writing as much as, you know, how it meant a lot to him. And just that one person made, another cliche, but just that one person made writing that book worthwhile. So
yeah, exactly. You know, and I think that is I think one of the great things about fiction is that, for one thing, you're able to read it and to take from it, I think. And then, too, you know what else is interesting about even hearing you say that, Terry? I think a lot of it is about our perspective. And I guess as a person who seems to find the lesson in everything and the bright spot in everything, I think maybe I approach things looking for it. In Grapevine, I found it. And I think even you have your character, Philip, finds it in some interesting ways. You know, that there was the poster that he read, I'm Positive About Thinking. You know, and I think that is the thing that really got me, even though he was a little cynical and said, what is this about, you know, about his no thinking? You know, I think maybe there is a little bit of cynicism sometimes in his reactions, but I think that, again, is what makes him relatable, because we all know what that's like, to have that cynicism about life.
Exactly, yes. And, yeah, I know you are a real positive guy, and I tend to be a cynical person, but I, like, even as cynical as I can be, and sometimes negative, with all three of my books, you know, they all have that underlying cynicism, especially toward professionalism, showing both the on the one side, showing basically in education, the cynicism in education, and on the other side, the passion and optimism in education, and they're both there. And most teachers fall somewhere in the middle, but the teachers who are cynical and what I used to call kid haters, and the teachers who are passionate about what they're doing, they both stand out. Like, you know, on the one side of the sore thumb, on the one side a sore thumb, and then on the other side, basically, you know, someone to admire. And like I said, though, most of us as teachers, you know, we fall somewhere in between there. But myself, I always, you know, tried to strive for that person that just really cared about what they were doing. And you know, and when you run across someone like a kid hater, it tears you down. It really does, because you feel like they're undermining what you're trying to accomplish. And I think that goes in medical. You know, in the medical world, which I deal with a lot in all three of my books, and almost any profession, policemen, you know, a current topic, you know, there's nothing worse than a bad cop, and nothing better than a good cop. So,
Okay. I think that
you want
that
any more cliches?
Well, you know, I think that's the thing, though, Terry, for sure. I think, you know, it really, again, is about perspective. As you said, you know, based on experience, your perspective may be one way. You know, I think, you know, for our readers, as they're reading this journey with Philip, I think they'll understand that, you know what, one thing I thought to myself, honestly, was, I'm so glad I don't see the world this way.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think, you know, that's a great conversation piece for people to be able
to have. Well, I'm glad I don't anymore.
yeah, exactly. And you know, and I think, again, that's a great thing for people to realize, too. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live, Terry Lloyd-Winetsky is back with us today. We're discussing his book, Grapevine. As he was sharing with us, this is actually his first book that has now been republished in the American Teacher series. We'll tell you a little bit later how you can stay connected with Terry. So, Terry, what is it like for you to hear from readers about how your books are not only resonating with them, but entertaining them?
From leaders?
Yes.
From readers.
From readers.
Okay. Well, I already mentioned that one fellow that responded to Grapevine. And, you know, I tell people my most common way of selling books, I sell them online in bookstores and so forth and so on, but I get out there and sell books face-to-face more often than not, and I find that that's really good for me in several ways. It seems like a, you know, kind of a big use of time, but other than writing, that probably the second largest use of time, and my family, of course.
Right.
But, you know, Cyrus, I just lost the train of this question.
Well, no, yeah, I was asking you about what has it been like for you to hear from readers.
Right, so now I know where I was going, yeah. It's great, because, and I tell them right off the bat, you know, they write down their emails, and I say, well, let me know, you know, let me know how it went for you. If you'd like, I can take it, you know, I can take the positive and I can take the negative. And a lot of them, most don't respond, although they always have that chance. The place that I, again, where I get to have that sort of input is when I'm selling books, because I almost always have somebody coming back almost every time I'm face-to-face. I do things like concerts and community festivals and things like that. And I have people come back, oh, you were here 2 years ago. I want you to know I read Grapevine. It was one of the hardest things I ever read. Or somebody else will come back and they'll say, well, you know, it wasn't so tough at all. But, and, you know, like what you just said, I found, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, so I get both of those back, you know. And like I said, I try to keep people away, especially from Grapevine. I try to keep people away from it, you know, who can't handle that real edgy sort of a look, well, you know, so you run into everything. I was down in Palm Springs doing a book thing a couple of years ago where my brother lives. A lady walked up and she saw the title, Maria Juana's Gift, and she just assumed it was about marijuana. And she just walked right up to me and said, you should be ashamed of yourself. I said, excuse me? And you know what I'm talking about. And I said, ma'am, this book has nothing to do with marijuana. And she just was, you know, she walked off with a black line. So you just can't win them all, you know?
Right, exactly. That is so true. And you know what? We can't expect to, for sure. And that is another thing, as a great segue back to Grapevine. One of the things, of course, that even the main character, Philip, is able to realize. I do want to mention as a side note one thing that I thought was so interesting, and I hope that we all learn from this. And that is one of the lessons I took away from Grapevine is how everyone's views should be respected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about trying to change the way someone sees themselves
mm-hmm.
or see life. And the example came in Philip being talked about not eating meat. You know exactly what I'm talking about, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And his response to me was classic. And I think, you know, if we could, and for readers who haven't read the book, that's one reason why you should read it, so you can see how he responded. And I think if you respond to someone in a reasonable, sensible way, like Philip was able to do, it makes you say, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. You know, and so is that also those little nuggets like that, Terry, are those also things that kind of made you smile as you were writing the book, how he was able to teach without even trying to teach?
Right. Well, and don't forget my cat. My daughter told me, Dad, you realize that cat is definitely one of your characters in the story. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that cat does play a big part.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think, again, so many different things that will relate to so many different readers. So now that you're kind of starting over, in a sense, Terry, you know, with the books being re-released, with this being book one, what is your hope? What do you hope when readers finish Grapevine? What do you want them to take away from it?
Well, as I said before, you know, the special moment is when I hear from someone who's dealt with clinical depression, suicidal depression, and has, or alcoholism, an alcoholic parent, because that was, you know, I had an alcoholic parent, and basically what I did is I was my mother, to be honest, and I used my knowledge of her to create the male character, the father figure in this story, because I just thought it would be more believable.
Right.
And so I've, that's the other area where I've heard from readers a lot is children of alcoholic parents. And well, I had one person tell me, you know, people don't realize the dual personality of a real alcoholic. And one of the things that they liked about my book is that, you know, that that is portrayed in there constantly. Like when his father throws the ashtray at him, and the next day Philip says, "You realize you threw your ashtray at me?" And his father totally has no idea when he's sober that he did that. And that
right.
specific event right there is taken from an incident that happened with my mother. So I'm hoping, I hope with Grapevine, that people who have dealt with alcoholic parents and lived with alcoholic parents and experienced that the duality, which people who don't have an alcoholic parent probably really don't realize, although they might from other addictions. And so I hope they can relate to that and see that, you know, Philip is dealing with it as best as he can.
Right. And
as
I think
well
that
as
is
the
that
depression that, you know, that results from it. So so that I guess that's what I hope when someone reads the book. So
yeah. And a great thing for us all to be able to take away for sure. Again, everyone, I'm Terry Lloyd Winetsky has been our guest. Another great conversation with you, Terry. The book is Grapevine. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com, so you all can head over there
may
and get it for
May I say one
yourself.
Quick thing, Cyrus, before
oh, sure,
you sign
sure.
off? I want you to know that I very much appreciate your interest in my work and especially your support for independent authors and publishers. And so I'll put a little plug there for Penel.com, bless their hearts. They're right, they're neighbors of you down there in Arkansas. And so I really appreciate your support.
Oh, well, look, the pleasure is definitely when I read something great, I'm always excited to share it, you know, no matter where it comes from, Terry.
Thank
and,
you.
And I want you to stop putting yourself down so much, too.
Hey, I'm laughing.
That's good. That's the Terry I want to stay connected with. But, Terry, let
right.
our audience know how they can stay connected with you, okay?
All righty.
Let them know how they can stay connected with you, Terry.
Oh, the easiest way is to go to the website AmericanTeachers.info, not .com. AmericanTeachers.info, and you go there and you can get my email and if someone's interested in my books, and also Penel.com has specials on the books. If someone buys the book, it, you know, we do much better if you go that direction than the other one that we all know.
Okay, I can understand that for sure.
But,
so make
the
sure
books
you
are
all
also they're also on Kindle and Nook as well. So
right. So make sure you all are staying connected with Terry for sure. Terry, again, thank you so much for stopping by and looking forward to the next conversation with you.
My pleasure.
All right, you take care. And we thank your audience for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you're joining us on the radio side, stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you. But if joining us online, though, we're going to lose you. So if you came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free and share it with your friend from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.